We're talking about the tools of the evil one. He's been at it a number of thousand of years. And he knows what tool exactly to use in the right certain situation. And today we are going to look at his tool of selfishness. His tool of selfishness. Now that's a pretty easy one. Because if there's anything can be said about the sinful nature, is rooted in a selfish spirit. And so the devil certainly knows how to take aim at that thing. What would I say is a definition of the tool of Satan in the realm of selfishness? It is the temptation of Satan to put self-interest ahead of the will and work of God. It is the temptation of Satan to put self-interest ahead of the will and work of God. In the passage of Scripture, we'll look at a number of scriptural illustrations of that. In Matthew chapter 4, the temptations of Satan against our Savior were definitely for the purpose of causing our Savior to put his self-interest ahead of the plan of God. And our self-interests are certainly rooted in our flesh. And although Jesus did not have a sinful flesh, he had a flesh. And that flesh was put in its, you might say, its weakest or strongest point in the fact that the Bible says that Jesus fasted 40 days and 40 nights. I'd say he was hungry. And the devil, Matthew 4:3 says, if thou be the Son of God. The if here is a particular conditional clause in the Greek that means since you're the Son of God, why don't you do something about this problem? You have no problem with this problem. Command these stones, and they'll be made bread. What was the temptation? The temptation was to take care of his need for food. His need for food being in front of, before Satan, more important than trusting God, the Father, to provide for him in his time. Of course, there was something far bigger than that. It was the cross itself. For if Satan could cause the Lord Jesus to go against the will of God, then no longer would he be able to go to the cross. You know, Satan's plan is always deeper than the surface. Satan's plan to become the God of this world was masked in a temptation to Adam and Eve, in which he said, now all you gotta do is take this fruit and you'll be like God. We talked about Satan's temptation of pride. But it was far bigger than that, wasn't it? It was the very plan of God was at stake. And Satan wants people to forget God's plan and to put into their minds their self needs or even interests, so that a person will become oblivious to the will of God, to the work of God, to the effect of whatever will happen to the work of God, and completely forget about that and just be concentrating on what their supposed needs are. Now we find this whole spirit of selfishness or self-interest is throughout the Bible. If you turn with me to Matthew 16, we find again a Satan mentioned here. And we see the confession of Peter. He said unto his disciples in verse 15, "Whom do you say that I am?" And Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And of course, we have the promise, the statement, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." The truth is Jesus was the Son of God. But people didn't know the truth. Not because their brain wasn't capable of it, but because spiritual truth is revealed by God. It's spiritual. And it's something beyond your mind. And he said, "And I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Then he charged his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. And from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. And Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, "Be it far from thee, Lord. This shall not be unto thee." But Jesus turned and said unto Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men." Satan, get thee behind me, Satan. Notice the next verse. Verse 24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, "If any man will come after me, let him," what? "Deny himself." Think that verse was there by accident? Huh? No, that verse is an explanation of the spirit of Satan and the spirit behind Peter that says, "No, you will not go to the cross." If any man will come unto me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. What is it saying? It's saying the spirit of real Christianity is the spirit of self-denial. And what is it saying? The spirit of Satan is the spirit of self-interest. Self-interest. The temptation to put self-interest ahead of the will and the work of God. Turn with me to Acts chapter 5. A certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Notice, why hath Satan, what was the temptation? The temptation that would be that their self-glory, their self-image, their self-reputation was more important than the spirituality and the spiritual power of the work of God. Their self-interest, their self-glory, they wanted the praise of men. That was the most important thing. Satan had filled their heart. Self. Self-interest. Put ahead of the will of God and the work of God. We see a very, very revealing truth here. Satan causes people to be blind or thoughtless about the spiritual effects and to focus only on their needs. That's all I can think about. This is what I want. 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 This is what we need. This is what we need. This is what we need. This is what's best for us. This is what's best for us. This is what's best for us. This is what's best for me. This is what's best for me. This is what I want. This is what I want. Me, me, me. The spiritual effect, blind. The effect and the work of God, no thought. But remember, Jesus, when he's explaining all of this, he said, what? A man will lose his life. he shall find it. Now, we could go to, we could see the same thing in a book of Joshua. And we find Achan, Joshua 7. Now God had told the people of Israel in Joshua 6, verse 18, "And ye, in any wise, keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest ye make yourselves accursed. When ye take the accursed thing and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. All the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the house of the Lord." And of course, Achan explains what happened. Joshua chapter 7. Verse 21. "And when I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonish garment, you know, we have Chinese garments today. Foreign country garments made with 10 cents an hour labor. But they didn't even have that. They didn't have woolen mills. You know, they made their garments by hand. Looms by hand. They say that a goodly Babylonian garment could easily be a year's wage. A year's wage. He apparently stumbled across a rich man's house. And the Bible says, "And I saw a goodly Babylonian garment." Oh! Do you see what I see? Whoa! A goodly Babylonian garment. Oh man, I can't believe my eyes. It's right there, just laying there. You know how much that would cost? You know how much effort that would be expend to get that? You'll never in your lifetime ever have something like that. Never. Just like that. He completely forgot about God's plan. He completely forgot about the effect of what he would do upon the people of God. He completely forgot everything but his self-interest. And he says, "And I saw a wedge of gold, a 50 shekels weight. Then I coveted them and took them. And behold, they are hid in the earth as in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it." Who? Satan. Satan. Oh, his flesh was real. And the flesh is rooted in self-preservation and self-interest and self-advancement. The flesh is all about self. But the devil is all about causing a person to be in the realm of self-interest, to put aside the effect on the work of God. That's the satanic part of it. Achan. We can go to many places in the Bible, and we just see that this truth is everywhere. This satanic influence to put self ahead of God. Acts 13. Verse 6, it says, and when they had gone through the isle unto Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. But Elymas the sorcerer, for so his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Then Saul, who is called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes upon him, and said, O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? Here was this man. He was with Sergius Paulus. He was his counselor. He was his soothsayer. He was his, fortune teller. And what does Elymas think? I don't want this guy to get saved. You know what? It's going to affect my pocketbook. I'm going to be out of a job. Right? I'm going to oppose this witness. So Paul says, you're an enemy of righteousness. You're a son of the devil. You're all about you, and you care nothing about this man's soul. You care nothing about this man's eternity. It's all about some measly dollar bills in your pocket right now. You see? The devil works in the realm of self-interest. Self-interest, so as complete ignoring or complete forgetting or forgetting completely. I don't care what effect this has on the work of God. None. Doesn't matter. Amazing. Amazing. Think about this. Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Let him deny himself. We have a huge conflict here of spiritual power. Huge conflict of spiritual power. Self versus God and God's will and God's plan. Can you imagine this? Can you imagine this today? Could you imagine Hudson Taylor today? Coming and saying, come and die in China. Come die in China. You know, I know that we become romantic in our thinking. When we think of great missionaries, but remember, Hudson Taylor was not a great missionary yet. Hudson Taylor was a great missionary, but their books had not been written about Hudson Taylor. And he was only known as a young man who was in fervent zeal to reach China, and he said, come and die in China. He did not, can you imagine that today, in this day of love for the world, love for fashion, a love for pleasure, a love for sport, a love for material things? Can you imagine Hudson Taylor? Come and die. And you know what? It was true. There were literally people who went to China and were dead within 3 weeks. They caught some kind of disease. They were dead. He said, come die in China. You'll never come to China. Don't ever think about going back home, seeing your mom, seeing your dad, seeing your brothers. Never again. Come and die. And you know what? The revival of 1858 has swept England. And people, there was a great host of people who were saturated with authentic Christianity. You know what? What do you mean, Christianity? Authentic Christianity. Whosoever will die. Die. That's what Jesus said. And they were anxious to die. Because they had experienced the real thing. Wow. Wonder how that would be received today. How would that be received today? Amazing. The Bible is full of illustrations of Satan's tool is to cause people to focus on themselves. And to so focus on themselves, focus on their rights. Focus on their will. Focus on them. You know, we have a great team in Kenya. We have a great team. We have two missionaries from Quantico. We have a missionary from Falls. We have a missionary, two missionaries from another mission agency. And they've made a team. The byword of the team, the underlying principle of the team is, they said, we will go, this team will be based on the high ground. This team will be based on the high ground. So whatever your, wherever you're at in your spiritual life, you will put that aside and you will agree to walk on the high ground. So, the missionary ladies, they don't wear pants. They don't wear trousers, they all wear dresses all the time. Not once in a while, all the time. Their children the same. And a few other things. But it's the high ground. I know some of those missionaries that in their past, they didn't always follow that. But they said, we will deny ourselves for the high ground. You know what? That's almost unheard of today. People putting aside their rights for the cause of God. Unheard of. You know why? Because we live in a self-centered Christianity. That team. A young man who's going to join that team. He was called to that team. He's going to get more education so he could have a master's degree and work at a college. Got married. His wife said, no. That's not how I am going to live. You see, the spirit of self-denial is masked in self-interest. Sometimes it's called, soul liberty. That's another mask. Soul liberty. How sad. Young people are stirred with the spirit of self-will. As well as adults. To give for the cause of Christ? No. 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 Me? No. Let's see in the New Testament the victory. Let's see in the New Testament the victory. Now we'll do a couple background thoughts on what we're really talking about. Let's turn to Matthew 28. We'll look at a couple of verses. Matthew 28 said, "Come unto me, all ye that are labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart." I am meek and lowly in heart. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation." Oh, God the Son, in glory, made himself of no reputation. "Come learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart." I'm going to die and go to the cross. Peter says, "No, let it never be. Get thee behind me, Satan." "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself." Our Savior, who made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. Oh, the Son of God put aside the voluntary exercise of his divine attributes, took on human flesh, made himself of no reputation, meek and lowly in heart. This is true Christianity. Standing up for my rights. No. Acts chapter 2. "And when the day of Pentecost was come, they were all with one accord." One accord. What does that mean? There was a unity of sacrifice and abandonment to God's plan, the Great Commission. The abandonment of themselves, no matter what the cost, to the fulfilling of the Great Commission, one accord. And so the Bible says in Acts chapter 2, verse 44, "And all that believed were together And had all things common, sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple, with breaking bread from house to house, to eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. Abandonment to the plan of God. The sacrificing of self, self-interest, for the cause of God. In this case, it also involved financial abandonment. Not everybody was rich. Couldn't have been. Why were those who had lands, why did they need to sell it so those who didn't have lands could live? Obviously, they weren't all rich. But there was an abandonment of self-interest for the will of God. Pretty simple truth. Pretty simple truth. Satan He knows right how to aim at our own lusts, which are self-interest, and to blind us to the effects of what we are doing because we get so focused on ourselves. So focused on ourselves. We're completely oblivious to what the effect would be on the spiritual power of the work of God. We become completely oblivious to whatever spiritual effect it might have. Blind. It's me. It's all about me. I'm taking care of me. Taking care of my family. And take care of me. You know, trying to be as obscure as possible. This person joined our church. And later on, I find out that that person used to practice a certain thing that they found out that I didn't really feel that's the best thing to do. They gave it up. Just like that. They gave it up. They want to be a hindrance to the work of God. They want to be a good example. They want to be a help to the atmosphere. Are they weak or are they spiritual? Are they weak or are they spiritual? Jesus said, Come learn of me, for I am meek. I willfully give up my rights for the effect of the will of God. And so the Bible says, Acts 2:47, verse 46, and they continued daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily, such as should be saved. Revival! Why? They were so focused on God and God's will and the Great Commission that the devil could not get them to focus on self. And the victory was won. The devil was defeated. Pretty simple, isn't it? Pretty simple. Oh, this is a great tool of the devil. And I don't want to elaborate. But the devil is all about self. And when that pursuit of self-interest causes a blindness to the spiritual effect, that action. Isn't it sad how powerful the devil is? For the pursuit of 1 hour of pleasure, man can give up his ministry. He can give up his children. Give up his marriage. All in the temptation of self-interest. And it can be much more subtle than that, can't it? But it's the root of the devil's plan. The devil's plan. It's a very rare thing in this hour for people to understand the temptation of the devil to put self-interest as a priority in life. And what the spirit of Christianity, opposite of that. Come and die in China. You know, come die in China? Coming! How can you come die in China? You won't even submit yourself to an earthly authority. How are you going to do that? You can't even submit yourself to an earthly authority. Self is so big. Self is so big. But Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him learn, I'm putting that word in there, let him learn how to deny himself. Amen. Let him learn how to deny himself. And maybe today, you could just think of some recent action where you should have done the will of God, but you got so focused on your needs that you completely forgot that what you were going to do would have a very negative spiritual effect on others, upon your own life, upon your children, upon your family, whatever it is. I mean, whatever. And I'm not going to preach another sermon on all the practical ways that could happen. The tool of the devil. He's a liar. The tool of the devil. Doubt. 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 Doubt and fear. The tool of the devil. Pride. The tool of the devil. Selfishness. Self-interest. Self-preservation. Self. Me. You ever thought how liberating it is just in any day of life when you do, when you deny self? It's liberating. You know, one little decision. You know, the other day I was sitting down. I don't know the exact context, but I thought, well, I'll sit down, relax a little bit. And things a little bit changed around our house because there's a few of us now. And I've had to step up to the plate a little bit. I thought, I'm going to sit down. And then the Lord said, I haven't always obeyed the Lord. You need to get up and help Tonda. You need to get up and get over that sink and do the dishes. Help her clean up the kitchen. And you know, I did that and I myself. And you know what? It was a lot more fun helping her than being miserable relaxing. And a lot of people, we make a lot of terrible choices and we're miserable because we are so afraid to deny ourselves and have the blessing of God. Let's pray.
Lord, realize that this touches down home. Because we know that we're just by nature, our sinful nature, selfish. And yet, Lord, we are blind to our fact that the devil will touch on that selfishness. And use that as a means to harm the work of God. And Lord, in this selfish world, there's not many people who know what it means to be spiritual, selfless, to give up their rights for the work of God. To be like the Lord Jesus. Lord, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for the example of our Savior. We're thankful, Lord, for your Holy Spirit, who is there, speaking to our heart. But Lord, we also think of the times that we become so focused on our selfish and even selfish sin that in our heart we say, we don't care. We don't care about the effect it has on those around us. We don't really care. We're focused on that moment. We don't care about the long-term effect. We become blind. So focused on ourselves, we don't even think about those things. Lord, the devil is behind it in many cases. Lord, might we see our own sin. Might we see that the devil is real. And that he increases the pressure to be selfish. Dangling prizes in front of us. Prizes of the flesh. Prizes of the world. Lord, may your word, Lord, be used to help us to see the lies of the devil. And Lord, may your word be used today to bring a victory in a precious heart. Lord, I pray that you would help people to see that very real spirit of Bible Christianity exemplified in Christ. That spirit that really it really takes to have real revival. And Lord, we pray for your grace in making this truth go home. And I pray that even today, that Lord, there might be holy decisions made within our souls, that we might again begin to attempt to battle the devil in this area of our lives and in the life of our church. In Jesus' name, amen.